like stretch big presence. And you know, with Sabonis, two-time All-Star now, down low, you know, that it'll be an interesting way they find balance. You know, they might stagger them. You know, one's on the court, one's off, and it'll be interesting to see like how the offense flows. You know, when it's Turner only big man lineup. You know, because last year there was some intriguing results when they did kind of stagger them and have only Turner as the one big on the court. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Right. Looking at the Pacers depth chart, you got Malcolm Brogdon, point guard, Chris LeVert, shooting guard, T.J. Warren. They got him as out. T.J. Warren out, Chris LeVert out, Malcolm Brogdon out, Jeremy Lamb day-to-day, Justin Holiday, he's out, Tony Craig. We got a good draft pick. Now, is it O'Shea? No, it's not O'Shea.
Chris Duarte.
Yeah, Chris Duarte. You've seen him play now in the preseason. What does he bring to this Pacers team this year?
Yeah, he's very good off the ball. Like, he can, you know, obviously catch and shoot. And then, you know, he can attack off the catch as well, too, which is, you know, something you really want to have when you have a lot of talented players, you know, when they're healthy, of course. Like, you know, Brogdon, Caris LeVert, and, you know, Warren, whenever that is that he comes back. So, yeah, you know, like, it'll be interesting to kind of see how he develops his ability to kind of run high ball screens and attack in isolation. He showed a lot of good signs in summer league as well, too, you know, with his shot creation. And he was actually probably one of the most impressive players out there.
That's like, what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. If you were to make, like, an all-summer league first team, I think he'd be on it. So, you know, that's pretty interesting for sure. He could get an opportunity increase in the meantime with all the injuries. And what he shows will be important, you know, going forward.
Right. How do you think this Pacer team is going to look once we have a completed full strength roster? Because as you know, T.J. Warren hasn't played in almost over a year, you know, with that foot. And then Caris LeVert, as you know, he had the medical situation as he was traded from Brooklyn to the Pacers. We know Jeremy Lamb just coming off of surgery a year ago. So, you know, we get these guys back in the mix with some good guys. It's like, you know, this Pacers team can make a deep playoff run. I'm not saying NBA caliber yet, but I think they can make a deep enough run to where they could at least put some dots in some people's eyes and let them know that, you know, we're the Pacers of old. You know, this is a new team, but we still want to bring that championship caliber team, you know, here to Indiana. And just to think, you know, this is something that's – it's not weird, but it's like – You write for the Dallas Mavericks, Sports Illustrated, and the head coach, the former head coach of the Mavericks, is here with the Pacers. Now, my question to you is, do you think that was a good move, knowing what Dallas was going through when Rick Carlisle was at Dallas under Mark Cuban? Now he's here under Bird, and it's like you're coaching the same type of players, young players. And we have to realize that in order for us to make it to the next step, we're going to have to be put in some situations that we're uncomfortable with. And I don't think right now this franchise is really putting that to concern because, you know, we have players that we've got rid of that went on to win championships. We've had players that we got rid of that's GMs now that's winning championships. So, you know, we get the good players. It's just that we don't know how to magnify them to their best of their ability. And I think what's really knocking the Pacers organization, and this is just my, you know, a representative speaking of Showtime Arnett, I think that the brawl in Detroit, it still haunts the Pacers because Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal, Ron Artest, Jamal Tinsley, the Pacers have not won out and gotten a player like any of those four. They don't have any of those four types of dogs on their team. And I don't want to call them dogs. I want to call them workhorses, guys that go the extra mile to, you know, they might pick up a check here or there. I'm not going to say that they're not. But this shows the team that we're not going to fall down. We're not going to just let somebody walk over us. In these last couple of years, the Pacers has been letting people sweep them under the bus, pour water over their head, not put the Splenda in the cappuccino, So it's like, you know, what do we do as media people? You know, we can only say so much, you know, to make our job secure. But I just don't understand the sluggish decisions that the front office makes. You know, now Miles Turner was on the brink of getting traded last year too, and I wanted to ask you about that. What was Miles Turner thinking last year after the end of the season when he said he didn't want to play here anymore?
Well, I think honestly, in general, a lot, like most NBA players, I think that aren't like the superstar level players, I think they kind of have the mindset where, you know, I could be thrown in a deal like at any time, and I'm gonna just, you know, be ready to do my job whenever, you know, right. You know, every day. That's kind of, you know, he's been in rumors for, man, I think like off and on, kind of ever since Sabonis became like an all-star, like that first nomination. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, of course, because, you know, with them, you have that, those questions where it's like, okay, so if we trade, Turner, what exactly do we trade him for? And then what will happen with our defense, since we rely on his rim protection? But then it's like, on the other side, it's like, do we have enough offensive talent to trade the other one?
Exactly.
So it's like, you kind of have, right. Either pick an identity and then be very careful about what you get in return for the trade, or, you know, be very confident you can make something happen with a separate move pretty quickly.
Right. Hey, what is your thought about Dwayne Washington Jr., the Ohio State guy? He's impressing me, man, like for real.
Yeah, he saw. I think a lot of their young players that they've added, like Isaiah Jackson as well, mm-hmm. and, you know, as Duarte we just talked about, I think they have a little bit of something each part of their skill sets.
Right.
I think Duarte is a more like complete overall, like, you know, dynamic player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with him being already 24, I think you would kind of expect, man, to hit the ground running, you know, right, as a rookie, a 24 year old. But still, there was a lot of teams interested in him. So, you know,
I think we got for a good squad. Reason. Yes. I mean, I was sad to see one of the Holiday go, one of the Holiday brothers, you know, he's with, Washington. And I think that's really a good fit for him, because you look at it, he's playing with Brandon Beal, also Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma's with the Mystics now. And, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, give or take, he could have played better here. But sometimes, you know, when you're comfortable playing in a situation, you don't play as hard. You know, you kind of leave some of the lackadaisical things off, and you don't motivate yourself. Well, my brother's here. I know my brother's got my back. Now you're on a team where your brother's not here. You have to do everything on your own now. You don't have that comfort level. And I think that's what it is, you know. And I'm not saying that's what you would Giannis' brother as well, from Milwaukee, Antetokounmpo. But, you know, when you have those situations, and I think that's the reason why George Hill went back to Milwaukee, you know, the Bra Ripple, IUPUI, graduated with me as well. You know, it's just a lot of things going on in the league. Enough of the Pacers. Let's talk about this Kyrie Irving thing. Now, as you all know, the NBA has stated that at first they wanted players to be vaccinated so that, you know, they would be able to travel and the fans would be able to come back. And then the NBAP, the National Basketball Association Players Union, these guys were saying that it was against the players' rights for them to get mandatory vaccination shots. What is your partake about this whole COVID-19 vaccination, if the player can play in a private facility because he's not vaccinated or not? Let's just talk about this whole thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of the city mandates kind of throw a wrench into the situation,
right?
Because, like, it's confusing. Because if they're, let's just take, like, you know, Miami Heat player, for example. If they're unvaccinated but they go to Brooklyn, they're allowed to play. But Kyrie Irving is not, like, I just don't, it just doesn't really make much sense to me. Like, why, why that is the way it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that situation plays out. Like, not to get into the, you know, too much of the other stuff, but, you know, like, if there's a change of leadership in that city, you know, how long does the rule stay the way it is? How do you make a decision around that? I think there's, like, an election in November coming up. So it's like, if you're the Nets, like, well, how does that even...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's a long time to wait, like, relatively speaking, you know?
So my question is, Kyrie Irving, he wanted Kevin Durant to come to Brooklyn. He wanted James Harden to come to Brooklyn. These are the players that you vouched for to come to the Brooklyn Nets organization. These guys fulfilled the team's obligations. They got vaccinated. I know that that's your opinion, Kyrie Irving. Andrew Wiggins felt the same way, but Andrew Wiggins got the shot. So at one point or another, you know, I'm not talking bad about Kyrie Irving because a lot of people don't know the side stuff that Kyrie Irving does. You know, like during the pandemic, you know, he bought 200. I mean, it was an article that I just want to make sure I got it right, you know, because I don't want to mislead you guys. And I'm going to say exactly what Kyrie Irving did while everybody's out here bad-mouthing him because of, you know, he feels a certain way about his shot. I'm going to get to it right here because – basically, oh, man, they were saying about Kyrie Irving is that, you know, during the pandemic, he helped out people. He funded 8 tuition, like he bought tuition for 8 people. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money. Not on top of that, is this, he's doing all types of good things. And a lot of people don't want to recognize that. They want to say, well, Kyrie does all these dumb tactics and different things like that. But people, he went to Duke. Duke is not a dumb school. You have to realize that Duke produces a lot of basketball players, just like Alabama and Georgia produces a lot of football players. It's the same genre in Ohio State as well. So if I'm recruiting you, if I say, Grant, I want you on Showtime Arnett, and then I recruit another person, and then I say, Stephen A., come on, but then I just cut out and don't even show up, you guys are thinking like, well, every man for themselves, but everybody has to take care of their family. I just don't understand why people are giving him a hard time because this is something that he's making the decision for.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think with it being left up to the city and not the NBA as a whole, I think it like kind of changes the whole situation as well too, because it's like it's not an NBA rule, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not saying like you can't play regardless, no matter what, if right. You don't show up like with the full status. Mm-hmm. But so you know, it's a very like I don't know, like, it's a very layered situation, very weird.
Right.
Like I never really thought we'd have to be like ever being like talking about stuff like that.
But, right.
You know, I guess we'll see how it all plays out because you know. I think I saw like something about you know his knee surgery a while ago where he broke his kneecap.
Right.
I think he got an infection when they went back in and fixed the screws that they messed up. So like it was a pretty serious infection if I remember correctly. So like I don't know. I wouldn't know if I would trust stuff all that much if I had a clean up on my knee after, right. You know, like a serious infection. Like, right. I'm pretty sure you can like lose your leg with right, that too. Right. Like, I don't know. Like, I'd be a little hesitant for anything at that point.
Right.
But yeah, so like something like that, I guess. Like, you know, we don't really know. I mean, his whole perspective. You know, we don't know anybody's whole perspective. So it's kind of tough to like. You know, judge or criticize somebody if you're not sitting in the room being like, okay, Kyrie Irving, explain to me why.
Exactly.
But then again, on the other side of it, you know, he doesn't owe anybody an explanation, but he also hasn't explained it too much. So it's kind of like, but then again, I guess, I don't know, like if you leave it at like, you know, it's my choice, I'm allowed to make my choice. I guess that's all the explanation you kind of have to owe somebody, I guess.
Right, right, right. Now, my last question to you before we break down. The Pacers' last preseason game tonight against Cleveland. Cleveland up and coming as well. You know, what do you look for in tonight's final preseason game?
I think with, you know, this being so close to the start of the season and key players still being out, I think I would kind of look for you know, the other key player is not getting hurt.
Exactly.
That's number one.
Right.
A game that doesn't count, you don't want anybody else getting hurt. But I would also just say more along the lines of I think Chris Duarte continuing to have, you know, extended opportunities, seeing how he handles that, you know, just continually.
Mm-hmm.
If it can become a consistency thing with him, I think would be very intriguing. I also think, you know, it'll be a very interesting battle between a team with, like, two sets of bigs, the Cavs, like Kevin Love, Lauri Markkanen, and then Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, versus a team that has two bigs in their own right, you know, Miles Turner and Sabonis. Like,
what about the other big guy we got? The 6'9 guy that was in the G League. I'm gonna tell you what his name is. Gogar. The 6'11.
Oh yeah, yeah. He shot a couple threes last game that didn't quite look very good, but yeah. It'll be important for him, I think, any opportunity he gets to prove himself, because I think you know, as time goes on, the less flashes you see, the less time you're going to stick around. So,
because I'm looking at the Pacers lineup right here, the roster, and as you can see, you know, the Pacers, you know, from Tony Craig, Chris Dorr, you was talking about Nate Hinton, Justin Holiday, Isaiah Jackson, DeJon Jaren, Jeremy Lamb, Chris Keelan, TJ. It's like, I forgot about Jakar Sampson. What about him? How do you think he's played so far in the preseason?
I don't even know if I've really seen him that much, to be honest. Like, it'll be he always brings energy and dirty work. So
that's what I like about Jakar.
Yeah,
he's an energy guy.
No matter where he's at, you know you're gonna get.
So the highest paid Pacer is who?
I think Malcolm Brogdon, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
Malcolm is first.
Sabonis too, right?
Exactly.
And then your
boy is third. Miles is third.
Oh, LeVert must be fourth, right?
Because it's you got Malcolm making $21 million. You got Sabonis making $19 million, Miles $18 million, Chris $17 million.
Oh yeah.
He's 17.5. So that's the reason why they're trying to get him, because it's like, we need him to play, because $17 million, that's a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of money to be playing somebody that's not even playing. I mean, I can understand, you know, TJ Warren, he's getting $12 million. But TJ Warren is a proven. He proved, even in the bubble when he was hurt on a broken foot, he still gave Miami the business on a broken foot. Fractured broken foot in the bubble. And he still gave Miami the business. This is your man Showtime Arnett, with sports writer from the Dallas Mavericks, Grant Access. Also, I would like to thank him for joining me today here in Indianapolis, TGIF, on a Friday. We're going to get ready for the Pacers' last preseason game tonight. We want to thank everybody for watching us, tuning in. Also, yes, tomorrow is college football, and as you all know, number 2 Iowa takes on Purdue tomorrow. Or is Iowa number 2 or number 3? I think Iowa's number... Hold on. Let me see. College football. I just want to get you guys caught up in the games that's coming on this weekend. Yeah. So we have the big game on ESPN. We got California and Oregon playing at 9:30. Also, we have Cincinnati playing. Hey, this Ritter. This guy, I don't know. This guy is really making a name for himself. With the big win over Notre Dame, he's just making himself a top pick coming up in the draft. Also, Ohio State is going to be playing. I want to say what's up to my homeboy, DeJuan Wagner. Purdue, David Bell's going against Higgins at Iowa. So we have two Indiana boys. One's at Iowa, one's at Purdue. We want to wish both of them a good game. Also, tonight, Friday night's matchup, we have Marshall at North Texas coming on at 6. Also, like I said, Clemson at Syracuse at 6. San Diego State at San Jose State at 9:30 on CBSCN. Check your local listings. That game's out in San Jose, California, a West Coast time. Now, tomorrow's matchup, we have so many games going on, but I just want to give you the top 5 games to watch out for. UFC at Cincinnati, number 3, Cincinnati. That's at 11 o'clock on ABC. That's going to be a good game. The next game to look out for will be, if I'm going to get it right, number 11, Kentucky, undefeated at Georgia, who's number 1. That's going to be a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. That's my second game I want you guys to watch. And also, Purdue at number 2, Iowa. That's another 2:30 game. That's the third game you guys need to check out. The fourth game, I don't know if this makes really a big difference in the standings, but I'm looking at the Ole Miss at Tennessee. Number 13, Ole Miss at Tennessee. That can go either way because, as you know, Manning is written all over that from Eli at Ole Miss and Peyton at Tennessee. This is going to be a Manning game. Whichever team is going to make that one, that's going to be another good game. That's my fourth game. And then the fifth game, you already know, my Hoosiers taking on Michigan State at 11 o'clock on FS1. Hey, that's all the time I have for today. I want to thank my man Grant for joining us today, for giving us his knowledge on the Pacers, the Mavericks, and what it is for the NBA coming up for this season with the Brooklyn Nets and everybody, Lakers, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Russell. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in. That'll be all for today. And Grant, before we leave, let everybody know what you got going on.
Yeah, I'll have a couple news stories about the Pacers for the Kokomo Tribune coming up, especially before the regular season, probably closer to the actual regular season. And then, all the Dallas Mavericks stuff, like usually a couple per day, and some analysis stories coming up as well on Sports Illustrated. The SI.com/Mavericks is where you can find that stuff. And then, pretty much just a lot of random NBA things on Twitter for sure, all the time.
Hey, well, man, it's a pleasure working with you again. Thank you for joining me at the studio today. I want to thank everybody out there listening to Showtime Arnett Sports Talk Show, the podcast. Hey, it's a gloomy day downtown here in Indianapolis, and everybody have a blessed day. And also, the number one game, high school game tonight will be Center Grove versus Cathedral at Arlington. If you don't have your tickets, it's already sold out. Everybody have a good night. See you. Oh, yeah. Look how many motherfuckers we had watching. Yeah, baby. And you already tagged in the post, G.
Nice.
So when I post it, I'm going to hit post now. Where's it at? Post. Don't delete. Never delete.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to post that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
That's what I want. Oh, I got to turn this off. I got to edit that. Yeah, because I got it still talking. Thank you for listening to Showtime Arnett Sports Talk Show, the podcast. You can check it out on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Breaker.audio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Thank you once again for listening to Showtime Arnett Sports Talk Show, the podcast.